What happened to the baby? It seems like yesterday he was a fragile newborn, his legs folded across his chest like a pretzel. Didn't he just smile for the first time? His toothless gums pink and shining, the drool making a quick escape from the corner of his mouth. Remember when his soft cheeks were the color of dawn on a warm spring morning, not covered with stubble as they are today? What happened to the baby? Now his legs are sturdy from walking the land, his feet are calloused and tough. He still smiles, but there's a painful sadness that wasn't there before. The once delicate skin of his face is covered with stubble like a plowed under corn stalks poking through the frosted earth. I mean, what happened to the baby? Do you know what happened to that baby? Remember the time he scared the wits out of his folks by lingering at the temple? They were halfway home before they noticed that he wasn't with the crowd. When they went back to get him, nearly crazy with fear, he acted as if it were no big deal. They grow up so fast. The next thing you know, he leaves his family and friends and heads off on his own without a decent job or a place to even live. He hangs out with women, beggars, and flocks of people with hideous diseases. He freeloads off his friends, criticizes the religious leaders, travels from town to town with no regard for the law of the land. I mean, what happened to the baby? That sweet little baby away in a manger. He grew up. That's what happened. Somewhere along the way, that innocent child with the straw for a mattress and a star for a nightlight grew up. He's no longer that cute, cuddly infant. He's not so charming anymore. In fact, there are times when he's just downright difficult. Take the things he says, for instance. Tell the good news, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Is he talking to us? He wants us to hang out with sick people, fiddle around with corpses, tell demons where to go? We're not cut out for that kind of work. We're business people and parents, not faith healers and evangelists. And what about this shake the dust off your feet talk? I mean, that's no way to make friends. We want people to like us. We don't want to go out and ruffle any feathers. You want us to follow your Jesus? Well, why? Why should we disrupt our lives and our homes and do what you want us to do? Can't we just go about our business and fit you in when it's convenient, when we have nothing else to do, when it suits our busy schedules? No? Well, why not? You're getting awfully demanding, you know. It was a lot easier when we could just tiptoe over to the manger and watch you sleeping. That kind of worship we can handle. But this tell the good news nonsense is asking a bit much, if you ask me. Well, what do you suppose my next door neighbor would think if I invited her over from tea and a bit of good news? Talk about shaking the dust off your feet. She'd shake the dust off me and march right out that door. She's not the churchy type. And the news she's had lately in her life is anything but good. Her husband just left her with two small children, and she works full-time, and she didn't have any family around, and the last thing she needs is someone preaching at her, for heaven's sakes. No, I think I'll just keep my distance and leave her alone. What about me? I mean, Sunday morning is the only day of the week I can sleep in. I work hard all week, and I need a break. My wife takes the kids to church. Why do I have to go too? What if my colleagues were to find out? I'd be embarrassed to admit that I go to church. Real men don't do that sissy stuff. That's for the women and kids. Well, I've tried the faith route and it really doesn't work, not really. My mother went to church and that didn't stop her from getting cancer. She never did a bad thing in her life and she suffered terribly in those last months before she died. I'm not a person who prays much, but I did then and it didn't do a bit of good, not one bit. So I haven't prayed since. You still want us to follow you? You don't give up, do you, Jesus? Okay, have it your way. But I'm warning you. As far as my neighbor goes, what should I do anyway? You know, the truth is I don't know what to say to her. So I end up saying nothing. I work real hard at avoiding her when I see her come out to pick up the paper or walk the dog, because I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing. I just don't want to make things worse. Invite her over for a cup of tea? Then what? Just talk with her? Listen? Do I have to mention your name? Just spend some time with her? Well, I guess I can handle that. Maybe I'll invite her to come to church with me next week. Don't hold me to that. It's not a promise. But it might be nice for her to meet a few new people. I'll let her know that there are folks out there who care. Is that what it means to tell the good news? Well, that's not so bad. Oh, fine, Jesus. That approach might work for her. But what about me? I'm the one who sleeps in Sunday morning, remember? Am I supposed to go to work and tell my colleagues what the preacher talked about when I'd rather talk about the football scores? What's that? Oh, what about my wife and kids? Are you saying I'm more worried about what my colleagues think about me than my family? How dare you suggest that? Oh, all right. I admit it, I take the wife and kids for granted. Besides, if I sleep in just long enough on Sunday morning, I don't have to look at the disappointment in their faces when they get up and go out the door to church and realize I'm not coming along. I suppose I could get up, go to church with my family, maybe every other week to begin with. It's a start. My family will be very excited just to think they mean enough to me that I would want to go with them. Well, they are the most important people in the world to me. Maybe it's time I let them know that. Let them know that church is a priority too. Is that telling the good news, Jesus? It is? Huh. I don't imagine you really even want to talk to me, Jesus. After all, I never take the time to talk to you. The problem is, after my mother died, I just didn't know how. When I needed you, you turned the other way. At least that's how it felt. Not my mother. She never felt that way. I don't know how people manage without faith, she used to say. God, you were her strength and her comfort. She got angry at times and she cried in anguish, but she kept on trusting you. And I couldn't bear to see her in pain. It made me feel guilty. Guilty for all the problems I'd ever caused. Guilty that I couldn't quite be there for her. Guilty that I just didn't want to be around her when she was so sick. So I guess the one I'm really angry with is me, not you, Jesus. I'm angry with me, and I don't know how to forgive myself. How can you forgive me for everything I've said and done? You do forgive me? Well, that's good news. That's good news. So what you're saying, Jesus, is this, that if we believe in you, then telling the good news is just part of who we are? That by living our faith and not being afraid of it, others will learn what faith is all about? And when we reach out to someone who's in need and listen to people who are hurting and stand up for our values and our families and admit our failures, that the good news becomes real, not just for us, but for the people around us? Well, if that's true, it means that the good news is more than just a bunch of words. It's the truth of God's amazing love for each and every one of us. It's believing that Christ really did give himself to save us. It's knowing deep down inside that this is news worth believing and worth sharing. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world. So what happened to that cute little baby? The manger is empty. It's gone. The baby's gone. But not really. He's just grown up is all. Grown up so he could experience all the joy, all the sorrow, all the craziness, all the questions of life. Grown up so that our faith can grow up as well. We came to the manger to worship a helpless infant. Are we willing to keep following now that the baby is gone? The manger is empty, but the grave is empty too. And that's not just good news. It's the best news we could ever share. And Jesus said, "Go and proclaim the good news for Christ's sake, for ours." Pray with me. Lord, we look forward all year to Christmas and the joy and the wonder of it all. We marvel when we see the little baby in the manger and our hearts are filled with faith and joy and promise and hope. And then the manger's gone and the baby has left and he's grown up and he asks us things. And expects us to live a life that he's called us to live and to be people of faith. And Lord, it's not always easy. But give us that childlike faith, that grown-up faith, that willingness to share the good news and to live it each and every day. Lord, walk with us. Walk ahead of us. Walk behind us. Walk beside us, that we might indeed be your glad and faithful people, as you have asked us to be and to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, who has given his life for us, let all God's people say, Amen.